episode of our radio broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We become the revelation of who He is because others are panicking and we're able to have peace. You see, the idea for you and me is to realize we have a job to do. Do you know the Bible says that God cursed the ground for your sake? When He told Adam, He says, I've cursed the ground for your sake. You say, wow, what a blessing. It really is. Because a man goes to work and he gets self-satisfaction from doing a good job. He goes to work by the sweat of his brow. He works the land. He gets food. He builds a house. He sustains that family by bringing along more children and having a hereafter. And all of that is engagement. Women were preoccupied with children. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, it said. And these are ways that God said, listen, it's a sinful world now. You're going to have a different hostile thing going on. Inside, outside, around you, people. He says, I'm not going to just make the food easy now. It's going to be a little harder. You're going to have to work for it. Not because I'm mean, but because I'm smart enough to know that when you're idle, you're going to get in trouble. Okay, so you need to keep busy. And not just get in trouble by doing bad things. But you can get in trouble by thinking bad things. Like thinking, man, life's miserable. I, you know, moan and groan. And boy, my knees and my back and my head. And my, oh, and nobody likes me. Whatever you've got in your mind. But the reality is the devil is afoot. And he will come at you either as a slithering serpent or he'll come to you as a devouring lion. He wants to take you down. That's all backstory. Because what he's saying is, we got to focus. On the task, being engaged keeps all that at bay. Somebody said once that sometimes Christians get into that zone, and I think maybe we've all understood this as being true, where we see a demon behind every bush. Devil did this, devil did that. But from my own experience was that I had that moment where I thought he was a devil behind every bush, but then I got to the place where I realized, no. The guy said it very well and got my attention with this little thought. He said, demons are like germs. You don't have to worry about them if you're healthy and clean. See, the devil can't do anything to you. The Bible says that those angels, in the first six chapters of the book of Genesis, it talks about Nephilim and all that. And it says these Nephilim saw the daughters of men and married them, and they had giants in the land. And God said the world was so messed up, I had to turn the plate over and wipe it clean. And so Noah's flood happened. And God took those wicked ones who did what? Who did not keep their proper estate. They didn't stay in their zone. They didn't stay in their lane. And because they didn't stay in their lane, what happened? He put them in chains of darkness until the day of judgment when He's going to release them upon this earth. It's coming. He's going to release the worst of the worst. Chapter 9, the book of Revelation says He's going to release them. But the point you need to take away is that the demons can only go so far right now. They've got a lane they've got to stay in. Or God starts moving in on him in a big way. Remember when those demons saw Jesus, they said, have you come to torment us before the time? They know that their day is coming. He's our adversary. He's got a case against you. He's bringing it before the Father. But if you don't know your Bible because he's roaring at you, if you don't know your Bible because you're mad at your circumstances, you're kicking the dog, you're barking at the wife, you're upset because you lost your job, you're upset because you can't go to the movies, you can't go to the restaurant, you can't do this, can't do that. All these things that have been hit upon us as Christians that we're kind of sitting back on our laurels or sitting back lazily, not being vigilant, not being sober, you didn't realize it could come at a moment. When all that came, we didn't know. So we won't know this either unless we engage. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible tells us, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. You have an advocate. So we've got an adversary, but we've got an advocate. Are you glad he's got our case? We're his wife. Okay. You think he's going to argue passionately? Father, my wounds, they're mine. Satan, be gone, okay? We recall in Zechariah, the Bible says that Joshua the high priest was being affronted by the devil. And the Bible says that he was standing there and he was a mess. His garments were filthy. He was a mess. And the Bible says that the Lord said, put on him new garments, put on him robes and put on the ephod. And of course, Zechariah said, well, put a mitre on his head. Yeah, let's do this, you know. And because everything had fallen for so long. This is after they'd been in Babylonian captivity. Now they're back and they're building. And he says, yeah, we need to get to the main thing. What was the main thing? Get our priest back in place. Get our high priest back in place. And then the Lord says that the devil's point in accusing, he says, no, this one's mine. This one's mine. You need to get your mind engaged. You need to be clear. And you can't know all the things that you need to know unless you know it, okay? You can't know it until you go find it. You got to dig it out. You got to own it. Got to be yours. Can't be pastor told me, because until you've read it, you don't fully own it. We all know this. We've read books and we've read things about certain things online in a book or some news article, and it just got our attention. We can talk about it to this day because we own it. It's in our fabric. It kind of imprints itself because we've devoted time there. The Bible says where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. You gave treasure to reading that book. Now you feel like that's your fabric and you know something. You need to know this book, right? This book. Because that's where all of your resources are. And to be engaged, you need to know how to put the armor on. You need to know what the armor is. Do you know what the helmet of salvation is? It means you have a conviction you're saved. Because when the devil hits you upside the head, you're going to think, I'm not sure I'm saved or not. Okay, but you got a helmet on. And he says you're saved. Breastplate of righteousness, because you're building a little bit of momentum with a righteous way of life. And that righteous light that you get gives you credibility and confidence, and you can stand with the Lord, because when you're living a righteous life, that involves reaching out to other people and Jesus helping you reach out to other people. And when Jesus gets involved, he says, take my yoke upon you. You want to know whether he's there or not? My sheep hear my voice. The Bible says he does. And when you're engaged, it's going to involve going where he would go. As my Father sent me, so send I you. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why do you do what you do? Being engaged involves that. If you're a Dorcas, in the sense of the book of Acts, okay, it's one of those words we've turned into a bad thing. But if you're like Dorcas who died, what did she do? She just ministered to the widows. What did they learn from her while she was ministering? They didn't just learn that they could get some food and some goods. She was teaching them, no doubt. Because the Lord says that Peter was brought in and he saw her, heard their stories, and said, we need to bring her back into the play because these widows needed another little oomph. And they saw her be raised from the dead. That was how much her service was. Our righteous life becomes an outpost of heaven in the midst of the world. You say, how do you say an outpost? The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that neat? You're like a temple walking around in the room. Let's put it this way, like a tabernacle, because the tabernacle moved. You might not have remembered this, but the tent walls and the tent around the ark was made of the same material as the priest's garments were. They were moving tabernacles. You and I are moving tabernacles. They were shadows of what we are in reality. You're a tabernacle. Jesus is in there. Holy Spirit, in there. Ain't leaving. Okay, he ain't leaving. And that's a good thing. And so you're going around and you're trying to get that momentum. You need to know how to fight. You need to be engaged. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, he's got arguments against you. You can't bless them. Look what they did. Look what they're doing. Look how they're behaving. Look how they act. No, God says, you just stand back and watch. Because I'm in there. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it under the day of Christ, right? Isn't that good to know? The Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy that He saved us. So He already knew what He was getting. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, which oftentimes we don't quote, but for the church we need to. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You don't do good works to be saved. You do good works because you are saved. And the good works are defined for you. Your good works are defined for you. It's not just being a nice person. There's a lot of lost people who are nice people on the face of it in the regard to what we would say is a nice person. They go to work. They take care of their family. They pay their bills. They maybe will help their neighbor and mow their lawn or do their, you know, like just things that are courteous. But the real good works have to do with good works in the sense of beautiful works, works that have an eternal view in mind. See, this whole thing about reading your Bible is how you get engaged. Reading your Bible is how you figure out what it is to do a good work. And your good works are a poem. Everything you do is like a masterpiece. Poema is a word for workmanship. God's poem is you. You are the poem, and He's writing a story with your life. And His story always ends in somebody getting saved. You may not be the person that won them to Christ. I had John Schaefer's funeral this past week. I won him to Christ, but I wasn't the one that laid the foundation. Everybody was praying for him. Everybody loved on him. Everybody was saying, hey, you need to think about this. Oh, well, I don't know. You know one thing that I found out this past week? He said, I'll never go to a Baptist church. I just never will go to a Baptist church. And he heard us on the radio, and then he came to church. And I got to sit down with him and share Jesus with him. He got saved, and he couldn't say enough about the Baptist church after that, just because it was where he was getting what he needed for his soul. Guys, listen. Do you know what's going on out there? Do you know there's an enemy? Do you know that if you're not engaged, you're more subject to his mess? Sometimes he'll come after you when you're really engaged, because the Lord will pull back a little bit just to let the world see who you are. Do you know people who really, really had a testimony in the past? Do you know that sometimes the Lord let them die martyrs' deaths so that all of the ointment in that alabaster box could fill the room? That's how the Lord overcame Rome. People were willing to give their lives one after another. Take me, I'm fine, leave her, that's my wife, leave them, that's my children, I'll go. And they would die nobly and valiantly because God would give them what they needed at the most trying of hours. You have to read those stories. Read Box's Book of Martyrs. Find out how these people died. You can't know it without finding somebody to follow through. And we don't have that here. They have it on the other side of the pond out there. You know, you go over the other side of the ocean. There's a lot of people who are still, even to this day, more people die from martyrdoms now than, I guess, in any time in history. It makes sense. We have more people, but still. You'd think it wasn't true by the virtue of our media and our day-to-day, because everything calm and cool and collected. But these people had their world upended economically, geographically. Nobody was trying to kill them. It was just hard in their world because everything was weird. That's where it begins. The Bible says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, to paralyze or to drive them into a pride to be destroyed, it says, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What do you think he's saying when he's accusing? Look how they're living. Do you know in the Bible it tells us that in the church, if we have immorality or some terrible things that are going on that need to be addressed, the Bible says you're supposed to go to that person individually. Then if they won't hear them, then go to them with two. And if they won't hear them, then you go to the church and you put them name out of the book and out of the roll. And by the way, there is a role evidently implied by the whole experience of church excommunication and disfellowship. But it says that you separate one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul might be saved. So what do you think the devil's saying? Can I get him now? Can I get her now? Can I have her now? And the Lord says, no, no, no. But if you go full on into something stupid, the Lord might say, deliver him under the tormentors till every last bit of it is paid. That's also a part of this whole thing, is sometimes people get forgiven and they don't forgive others. And the next thing you know, they're subjected to all kinds of static because the Lord lets them be. Because they didn't forgive. Now, the Bible says that this adversary is seeking whom he may devour. And what's he want to do? The word devour literally means to drink right down. To drink them right down. You know, when the Bible talks about some who are not good for it, just certain ones were not good for anything except to be cast out and trampled underfoot of men. There's a point in the Old Testament where Israel had pushed the envelope too far. And the Bible says that Jeremiah sent messengers to all the other nations. And he says, Israel's about ready to be judged. Okay. It's going to be bad, but I want you to know, this is from me.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net.
You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.